We bring in Elliot Friedman from Hockey Night in 32 Thoughts. Hello, Friege.
Hey, how you doing, Jeff?
I'm doing well. Had a few hours, you know, half a day here to sort of digest what we saw yesterday afternoon. I want to get to tonight's matchup here in a couple of seconds, but the Rangers and the Tampa Bay Lightning, in a lot of situations, a team would fold. Okay, so the Rangers go up to power play, like they're trying to hit the goaltender, bump Shesterkin around, get him, and the referees are calling it. They're having no part of this. You know, a lot of teams would have just folded the tent and said, eh, it's not going to be our day. But I got to hand it to Tampa. I think you do as well. I think everybody does as well. As well as the Rangers have played in this series, I don't get the sense that, because you're always looking for that moment where one team breaks another team. Tampa ain't breaking here, Friege. Like, they are just refusing to break here.
Why would anybody expect different?
I know. Well, you know why?
Because like, honestly, why would anybody expect different?
Because they've been there twice.
So what? They had every excuse to fold against Toronto. They didn't. They kicked Florida's ass in very impressive fashion. I don't understand why anybody would think that Tampa would do anything but battle their hearts out to try to get back into the series.
That is unique to Tampa. The only point that I'm trying to make is it's the Rocky story. It's harder to stay on top than to get on top. And once you've
we should play some there, Survivor.
Eye of the Tiger, let's go.
Lance, where's the Eye of the Tiger, man? Come on, Lance, get on it. Don't fall asleep on the board.
All I'm saying is this is a really impressive performance by Tampa. And to your point, yeah, we shouldn't be surprised. Like, these guys are all, like, to a person, whenever you talk to them, and most recently we talked to Stamkos of the Players Tour in Chicago, and they're like, look, we just know what to do once we get in. Like, it's a mature, hungry team, and that was on display yesterday. And that third
period. Even in the beginning of the game, I thought they were in trouble, though.
Yeah, but that third period, like, by the time, like, if you looked at the first and the third period, you're looking at the tale of two games completely. Mm-hmm. Like, that was all Rangers, and by the end, that third period was all Tampa, Friege.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought that the big thing was the kill of the double minor, because the Rangers' power play is so good. I still think, until Point comes back, if Point comes back in this series, I still don't think Tampa's fast enough for these guys. They have to find other ways, which they're more than capable of. But I don't know if anybody was expecting a sweep. That was a great game yesterday, and it'll be a great game tomorrow night. This goalie has proven he can stare eye to eye with Vasilevsky and make this a series, no question about it.
You know, we look at moments where playoffs is always where it happens, where you really distinguish yourself, and it's the biggest stage, and everybody gets a sense of where you're at, and we're going to get to Cale Makar here in a couple of seconds, but I think by now everyone should know just how good Adam Fox is, and I think by now everyone should really know just how great Igor Shesterkin is, and for any who may have, and you guys addressed this on Hockey Night the other night as well, for any who may have had misgivings or second thoughts about how can you vote for a goaltender for Hart Trophy, Shesterkin is showing why you can vote for a goaltender for Hart Trophy. Like, when you look at how much that individual performance added to the points for the Rangers this year, I think the number's up around 20 points, like, just by his performance alone. Like, that thing screams MVP. But your thoughts on what we've seen from Shesterkin so far? We've seen him falter against Pittsburgh, but that's about it.
I think, you know, the things I think about is sometimes the voting, you know, we do the voting at the end of the regular season. Playoffs don't count.
Yep.
And then sometimes things happen in the playoffs that make us look worse, and sometimes things happen in the playoffs that make us look better. And, you know, I didn't have Shesterkin in my top three. I think I had him fourth. But there were some people who, when they saw Shesterkin for the Hart Trophy, they were like, nope. Like, that guy should not be in the Hart Trophy conversation. That is one case where the playoff results have made us look better as a whole voting. Like, people look at that now and they say, oh, okay, now I get it. And, yeah, you know, at the end of the day, you just hope that you get validated, right?
Yep, and he's validated a lot of people that had the nerve to make him, oh, I don't know, maybe number one on their ballot. We'll see what happens during the big reveal later on when the Hart Trophy is awarded. So tonight's game is absolutely huge. I want to spend as much time on this as possible. Tonight's is huge. First of all, how did you see the Evander Kane play and subsequent suspension and all the fallout from it?
I am not surprised he got suspended. I am not surprised that no one is happy about this. The Avalanche thought it was not enough. And, you know, the Oilers thought it was too much because of the Hagel play. But, like, this is what I thought was going to happen. You know, from working with Burke all those years, you know by osmosis that they weight the games, right? So yes. A one-game suspension. Like, I was doing my weekly hit with Andrew Peters and Craig Reve this morning. And, you know, a one-game suspension in the conference final, I said, how many games is that in the regular season? And I think Peter said something like six. And I'm like, well, that's too high.
But
you know, that's the idea. It's it's probably like three.
Yeah.
And Kadri got hurt. Like, I don't understand why anybody would have expected there would have been nothing here. Injury is a factor. And I like the way you actually said it on the pod, that once you've determined the play is illegal, then, you know, then injury becomes a factor. It's like, you know, someone said to me today, like they were arguing to me about the whole repeat offender thing. Because I think the fact that Kane has been suspended before, it comes up. And people are like, well, you know, the whole repeat offender definition. And my point to that is everybody gets the repeat offender thing wrong. The repeat offender thing only has to do with the size of the fine. Are you fined by days or are you fined by games? Once they've decided a play is worth the suspension, you know, then, you know, the fact that you've been suspended before comes into it. I don't understand who would be surprised that there was a game out of this. I'm just shocked that people would have felt that anything different would have happened.
Mm-hmm. So no Nazem Kadri tonight for the Colorado Avalanche. No Evander Kane tonight for the Edmonton Oilers. We had a discussion on the podcast about Dylan Holloway, and there'll be no Kyler Yamamoto in the lineup tonight for the Edmonton Oilers, and all the speculation and chatter is, you know, will the old University of Wisconsin Badger make his NHL debut in the most important game of the Oilers season to date? And you're a fan of it, correct?
Well, I am a fan of giving Holloway a shot. I mean, I have to tell you, I'm a little bit surprised. I thought they might put Brassard in too, just to try to get them some offense or something like that. And it doesn't sound to me like that's happening. Like, I understand the Holloway decision. Absolutely, I do. I think it's worth it. I think you absolutely take a look at this prospect who's a big part of your future and you say, okay, let's give him a taste of what this is like so he understands. And you need goals. They've scored, what, two in the last two games? So I totally understand that. I am a little bit surprised that they didn't go with like a guy like Brassard too, who has a history of offensive ability, quite obviously, and has some success in the playoffs. So I totally understand the decision to go for Holloway. I think if I was running their organization, I'd say we have to think just bigger than the one game, and why not do it? I am a little surprised. I was wondering if they might go with another veteran player too who's got some playoff experience. And to be honest, when I was going through their roster, Brassard was kind of the guy I thought of. And it doesn't sound like they're going in that direction based on the skates today. And I am a little bit surprised at that, but I totally get the Holloway decision. I would probably do the same thing.
Okay. 27 minutes. Connor McDavid, over under tonight.
Over.
Over 27.
And I'm talking regulation. I'm talking regulation,
oof,
too. If it goes into overtime, that's like cheating.
True. No, this is for the 60. This is for the first 60.
Yeah. Over. 20,
you're taking over on 27.
As a matter
minutes.
Of fact, I think I probably wouldn't even let him leave the ice. I'm going for 60. 60 minutes.
Style. We go beast style from the old Brandon Wheat Kings days.
McDavid, minutes played, 60.
doesn't
use those three TV timeouts a period. You can use that effectively.
Get the oxygen on the bench for McDavid. No, but this is one of those games where, like, you're Jay Woodcroft. You can't fire 97 out there enough. Like, just, okay, you're good to go, go. You're good to go, go. You're good to go, go. It's going to be one of those games. This is empty the barrel for the Edmonton Oilers tonight. This is it.
Yeah, I think you have to do it. I mean, like, look, what else are you waiting for?
You can't. That's nothing. Yeah, you're down 3-0, and you're at home. You go down with your big guys.
I know we're just talking out of our butts right here, right now, Jeff. But, like, it wouldn't shock me if he plays, like, 30 tonight. Like, it wouldn't shock me at all.
Yeah.
You have to go with them as much as you can. You can worry about, like I was talking about someone this morning. They go, what about game five? I go, game five? You're not even guaranteed a game five.
No.
You worry about this one tonight, and you figure out the other one on Tuesday. Or Wednesday, yeah. Or whatever day it is. Yeah.
Let's go back to Saturday. What did you make of that one? What did you make of the Edmonton crowd? What did you make of Mike Smith? What did you make of the game winner? Like, Cale McCarr? What stood out to you from Saturday's game?
I just think Tampa. I just think Colorado's an elite defensive team. We look at all their great players, and we think about what they are as scorers and offensive players, but I just think you can't win the Stanley Cup until you know how to check, right? You can score, like, scoring is important, don't get me wrong, but I don't think you can win unless you can check, because hockey is just a game where you're not going to have the puck a lot. So when you don't have it, how do you get it back? Can you check and can you win battles? And I think, like, this Colorado team can do that. I think that in McCarr, they have a unique player. I said it to you, and I'll say it again. Sometimes I think you need to have a great playoff for people really to see. Like, I think everybody knew Cale McCarr was good, but this playoff has given us an idea of how good he is. He's going to win a Hart Trophy before his career is over. Like, mm-hmm. I could see a situation where he wins it next year, for example. Especially if they go on to win the Cup. I could see Cale McCarr winning a Hart Trophy as soon as next season. And as you said, he's a one-man big breakout. He skates the puck out of trouble. But, like, the thing that the game showed me the other night is Colorado, they don't have a weakness. I think the biggest thing that could prevent them from winning the Stanley Cup this year is just the injuries. They don't have Girard. They probably won't have Kadri. And, you know, we're still wondering what's going on here with Kemper. And they won a Stanley Cup in 2001 where they didn't have Forsberg for the whole series. And that was against a really good New Jersey team. And you feel that they're still good enough to win it, and they might be. I don't necessarily disagree with you. But that's the one thing I look at. Like, Colorado is going to be the favorite against whoever they play in the Stanley Cup final, if they get, assuming they win one more game in this series. And, I think they've earned it because, like when you look at them right now, and I think the biggest weakness is probably Francois if Kemper's not there. Like, you're just wondering, can he get you all the way there? But, Jeff, other than that, with their skating roster, do you see a weakness in that team?
No, I don't. I don't.
Like, they have good, legitimate NHL players who can't get into their lineup.
Mm-hmm.
Like either Ryan Murray is sitting out, or Nico Sturm is sitting out, or Obe Kubel is sitting out. I mean, even Burakovsky is sat out. Like good players can't get on the roster.
So around this time of year, I'm always fascinated by who's on each roster, to your point, who's on and who's off, and how they got there. Because I think it tells us a lot about how various general managers go about roster construction and what they value when it comes to either the waiver wire or free agent signings or trades for that matter. And I look at the New York Rangers and I say, you know what, they're still dining off a little bit here on the Rick Nash trade. So Spooner was in that trade. They ended up using that to get Strome. Lindgren's in that trade. He's still a huge piece, obviously, for the New York Rangers. And I look at the Colorado Avalanche and I look at Saturday and it's JT Compher with the game-winning goal. And I think That guy was part of the Ryan O'Reilly deal. Like it was Zadorov,
the last Udarenko, one.
But yeah. he was a piece of that Ryan O'Reilly trade so many years ago. Drafted by the Buffalo Sabres, second round from the U.S. Development Program, and they're still dining off on that piece. And now with Kadri out, I mean, Freege, this guy's more important than ever, and yep. He's having a great playoff right now. Conference,
yeah, absolutely, he's on a real tear. Like that play, the game-winning goal. Everybody's all over Smith. I understand it. But like to me, that was a one-on-one battle for a puck, and who wanted it more? Comfort did.
Yeah.
And that's how you win and lose the playoffs. Like I remember Adam Oates when he was working on the panel, and we talked about it once, and he said that he saw a battle in a playoff series, I think it was, and the thing he talked about was, can you win a battle? And he said there's a difference between winning a battle and tying a battle. Because he said that obviously we all know what happens if you lose it. But if you tie a battle, that means you need someone else to come over and get the puck. He said so tying a battle sometimes isn't good enough. He said, can you win a battle? He said that's the difference between players who can help you win a Stanley Cup against players who can't. And Compher, in that moment, he won the battle. And as a result, Colorado won the game.
Now, you can look at where that motivation comes from on that play specifically. Compher's just sat down for 2 minutes and he's coming out of the box. So, A...
He feels shame?
He go to box and feel ashamed 2 minutes, you are free. He comes out and all of a sudden, like that's he's just gotten out of prison and he's chasing a good meal. Like for the first time. And he's feeling like, okay, guilty. I could have, you know, put our team down. Francois had to make a big save. And like he comes out of the box and it's house on fire.
Yeah.
So like I get it. Like, you know, we talked about, Kucherov not even able to watch the play when he took one of the penalties yesterday. Compher's the same way. Like, there is that added inspiration when, you know, you just put your team down late in the game and it could cost you the game. He gets out and, like, I don't think – and like Evan Bouchard is a big, strong kid. I don't think anybody thought he was going to lose that battle to Evan Bouchard. The way he came out of the box, not a chance for each. Not a chance.
I agree with that. I think a lot of your opinions are nuts, but I agree with that one.
But you're picking up what I'm putting down on that one. Okay, so a couple of things from the NHL. This morning, the Montreal Canadiens announced the signing of Chris Wideman, right side defenseman, 2 years, $750,000. And you may look at it and say, well, okay, it's signing a depth move for the right side. Is it further indication that they're shoring up the right side because we're pretty much of the consensus that Jeff Petrie's gone?
Well, I think they're definitely good. Look, Jeff Petrie, I think, felt a lot better about his situation after St. Louis was there. There's no doubt about that. You heard him talk about it.
Yeah.
I definitely think that they're going to be looking around on Petrie this summer and seeing what's out there for him. But I also think that in this league, 82 games, you need D. And you need depth D. And Chris Wideman's that. It's a good price. It's $750,000, $775,000. You know, in a regular season, you're gonna need at least 8D. And the other thing too about Wideman is, I remember during the 2019 Stanley Cup Final between Boston and St. Louis, he lives in the St. Louis area. And one of the off days, I went for breakfast with him, and it was just at the end of a really tough year. That was the year of the Uber car ride, and things fell apart for him in Ottawa, and he was at a real low point. We had a long conversation about it, and he went to Russia for a little bit of time. And, I'm just happy for him in general that, he gets a bit of security. I mean, if you saw the picture, he's got a young child. So anybody who's a parent of a young kid, you know what that feeling is like. I think it's two things. I think, yes, there's potential changes coming in Montreal. The one which you mentioned, I still think it's out there. But I think it's also a sign, Jeff, that if you can have – depth defenseman you trust in the league where you need 8 or 9 guys, you find a way to keep them.
Absolutely. This is a week. We'll
right hand shot too. Right.
Well, that's
shots.
Always. Oh yeah. You know what the agents always say? Add 10%. My client shoots right. Let's add 10% to this contract. coaching searches around the NHL right now.
Yeah.
Listen, we talked Saturday about what's happening with Winnipeg and the names. We know about Barry Trotz, and we talked about Scott Arneil and Rick Tocchet. You mentioned Jim Montgomery as well. Waiting a decision with Florida. Flyers looking for their coach. Chicago Blackhawks on the coaching hunt as well. How much do you think teams are just waiting for the dust to settle with the playoffs before making their final moves? Or do we just look at this and say, you know what's happening here? Barry Trotz is holding everything up here.
Well, I think Trotz is holding some of it up. I mean, you know, someone was saying to me, you guys shouldn't discount the possibility he takes the year off. So that is still a factor in this too. So I should mention that as well. Mm-hmm. And so I do think the Trotz situation is holding up a few possibilities. But I know there are some teams who are moving at this a bit slower than others. Like one of the guys was telling me they think Detroit, for example, is perfectly willing to not move that quickly on this and make sure that they've looked at everybody out there that they would even want to think about talking to. So I think it's a combination of Trotz and the fact that there are a lot of candidates that are still kind of busy out there. You know, for example, you know, you're one of the Derek Lalonde guys, and I think Jeff Halpern's another in Tampa. You know, Tampa obviously is still playing. So I think that becomes a factor too. Yes. By the way, someone said to me that San Jose GM, like just all the people that they're kind of talking to, I had a suggestion today that, and it makes a lot of sense actually, because you played there. And I know that they were interested in some people who've played there was Mike Greer.
Ooh, that's a really good one. Do we know if he's interviewed?
I don't know. Someone said to me that, someone said to me that that's like he works for the Rangers and the hockey operate as a hockey operations advisor, but someone said to me that, and we know they interviewed Ray Whitney from the league, and he of course was a Shark, and I know that one of the things they were looking at was, you know, people who kind of know their organization a bit. And I'm still trying to determine, like this person said, it wouldn't be bad for you to speculate this name. And, you know, the question is, and I haven't figured it out yet, is it just like it wouldn't be bad to speculate, or has he actually been in an interview? But he fits the profile of what they're kind of looking at in terms of they do want to talk to some people who know the area and know the organization.
Makes a lot of sense. We had a conversation about that on the podcast. People can check out about the Winnipeg Jets and the uniqueness of their market and why a lot of names revolve around people that have been there before. And with that, we'll wrap. Listen, tonight's going to be a lot of fun either way. It is. There's going to be a lot of great energy in the building, albeit it might be nervous energy. Who knows?
Yeah.
But we'll be really curious to see if Connor McDavid goes beast mode, Brad McCrimmon style, and plays the full 60, or how close he gets to that magic
Lash,
number. Here's your theme.
I thought you
Survivor
were
baby.
Making soup, Lance, or something like that.
Could just see a young Elliot Friedman coming back from the theater doing one-arm push-ups and chin-ups and running around the block to the schoolyard and back.
Yeah, not that wasn't me. Rocky I do 3. Remember that this was my... this was my grade 8 birthday party. It was Rocky 3. That I remember.
I love it. Who were you? Were you Rocky or were you B.A. Baracus?
No, B.A. Baracus was the A-team. He was Clubber Lang.
No, I know, but were you Mr. T? What I'm saying, were you Mr. T or were you Sylvester Stallone?
Like, there wasn't a single person in that theater that day and who was not captivated by Mr. T. Not a single person.
All my buddies were... Everybody loved Clubber Lang. Everybody lost it for Clubber Lang, man. 100%. And they all became fans, to your point, of the A-team. I was a big George Peppard guy, but some people like Mr. T, and I totally get that.
I like George Peppard, too, and Dirk Benedict from Battlestar Galactica. But I'm really old now. Bye.
Oh, wow. Okay. Bye, old man. Elliot Friedman from 32 Thoughts on Hockey Night in Canada, sharing expertise on hockey and Battlestar Galactica, to say nothing of Rocky III.